7:52 p.m. on May 5, 2020, ABS-CBN, the country's biggest broadcast network, went off the air. ABS-CBN's abrupt shutdown came after the National Telecommunications Commission, or NTC, issued a cease and desist order due to the network's expired legislative franchise. At a time when the country grapples with the challenges of the COVID-19 pandemic, many Filipinos see ABS-CBN shutdown as an attack on press freedom, at a time when the country needs the network the most. While ABS-CBN continues to give accurate, timely, and relevant news to the Filipino people through their digital platforms, their limited reach has proven to be a challenge, especially when news and information can save lives. Among those who have been vocal against ABS-CBN's closure is broadcast journalist Jeff Canoy. For more than a decade, he has covered disaster and conflict stories such as the Marawi siege in 2017 and the Taal volcano eruption in 2020. Months after ABS-CBN shut down, he covered typhoons Raleigh and Ulysses, where he experienced firsthand the difficulties of the job coupled with the network's limited reach and resources. Welcome to On Point, the Guidance podcast arm where we sit down and talk with the experts on issues in and beyond Loyola. Today, we will be joined by Jeff Canoy to discuss how the ABS-CBN shutdown has affected the state of press freedom in the country and what the network's continued absence will mean for the Filipino people. I'm Martin Ramos. Let's go On Point.
All right, to start off, let's recount what it was like in the ABS-CBN newsroom months prior to the shutdown. So this is around February to early March. What were the thoughts and conversations, specifically those working in the news department, like?
Obviously, the threat against the franchise was there for a very, very long time. But it's sort of there in the back of your mind, but there's also that part of denial pa rin na, you know, that's not gonna happen, they can't do that, that's just too much, that's crossing the line. So you sort of retreat to that kind of denial, siguro to make yourself feel a little bit better and for you to still sort of function and still do your work. But when 2020 rolled in, that threat sort of became more real, I guess. I remember January pa lang, I was already going to a very, very small rally that siguro just a few dozen people attended sa Boy Scout Circle. It was with the NUJP, and they were already declaring yung press freedom and yung initiatives to help protect what would be one of the biggest attacks on press freedom that we've had under this administration, if ever it came to fruition. But that time, obviously, there was also the start of the pandemic. So parang you sort of, parang yung focus with the, because that rally sort of started becoming a weekly thing. And it was sort of impressive in a way to see that every week you see more and more people coming to those rallies. And these aren't just like journalists, people from all walks of life really going to the streets to help defend press freedom. Pero yun around what, late February, early March, we had the pandemic. So that sort of put our focus on a different direction. So that time, we were all sort of under the impression that, you know, they won't do this, they won't push through with whatever plans they have. Since we're all dealing with a pandemic, di ba?
Yes.
Ano pang uunahin mo, di ba? So, yung time frame na sinasabi mo, that time we were all really just busy with doing COVID stories. Obviously, newsrooms, not just here in the country, but all over the world, were sort of frantically trying to figure out how to cover a pandemic. Obviously, wala naman tayong handbook to say, this is how you cover a pandemic safely, di ba? Walang ganun, yes. Guys. So, we sort of had to sit down and figure out protocols. Ako personally, that time, I was really pushing to cover inside hospitals because there was sort of a blanket directive for all reporters not to be near any COVID hotspots, including hospitals. But I really wanted to still go to hospital. So I was engaged in many discussions and debates with bosses and editors and colleagues who are sort of supportive of me wanting to go inside the hospitals and also very wary that I would go there. And, you know, so yun yung mga pinagkakaabalahan ko, mga ganong sort of things. And I think yun din, parang syempre yung fear din of yung safety ng family mo, of your friends, and then yung pag-implement ng quarantine, those things were all sort of at play for a lot of the journalists in our organization's minds at that point. Pero yun nga, so parang in a way, when they started talking about the franchise issue, we were sort of prepared for it kasi nasabi ko, it's always been in the back of our heads. Pero at the same time, it also sort of blindsided us because parang, ang tanong yun, nandun tayo sa gitna ng pandemic, di ba?
At the height pa, May 5 kasi,
The height of the pandemic, yes.
So, obviously, you said it wasn't given that much attention nung siyempre at the height. But afterwards, post May 5, that's when it started again. The headlines were all about ABS-CBN, the franchise, the hearings. But obviously, life went on in the network. And siyempre, in the Philippines, may mga bagay na hindi mo maiwasan, like typhoons, right? So, noong November 2020, the Philippines was hit by Typhoon Raleigh, the strongest typhoon of that year. And then the absence of ABS-CBN's regional stations obviously made information dissemination difficult, especially in far-flung communities who rely on ABS-CBN for updates during calamity. So I know you covered Raleigh, Ulysses, of course. Mm-hmm. And so what was your experience like covering those typhoons amid the shutdown, patungan mo pa ng pandemic? How was it and how different was it compared to all the other?
I sort of parang had a preview of that sort of parang disaster. Kasi right after the shutdown, May 5, there was the first storm of the year, which was Typhoon Ambo. So just a few weeks lang to, or just a few days or a few weeks after the shutdown, if I'm not mistaken, I was sent to Aurora to cover. And already dun pa lang, parang yung mga dinadaanan ko, parang people were asking for ABS-CBN for updates. They were telling me na wala silang alam na balita. Yung iba wala namang access sa internet. Kasi, di ba, una, yung signal. Hindi naman ganun kalakas sa lahat ng lugar. Pangalawa, privilegio naman ang internet sa maraming mga Pilipino.
Yes.
Umaasa pa rin sila sa radyo at TV. May mga areas, especially sa Aurora, na ABS-CBN signal lang yung nakukuha nila. So, yung time na yon, I was already thinking about yung abyss of yung lack of information, and na parang for many people it's a matter of staying at home, going to the evacuation center, of how to prepare. So parang lives were literally at stake because of that lack of information. So when the bigger when the succeeding typhoons happened na, especially sa fourth quarter, yun yung sunod-sunod eh, lalo na yung Bicol region.
Yes.
Kumbaga, mas naging mahirap because you have all this information that you wanted to spread as much as you can. Pero you know na may mga maiiwan at may mga lugar na hindi maaabot. So yun yung frustrating part. It was also very difficult to cover during a pandemic kasi nga hindi naman, parang before, pag sabi niyo, may bagyo, takbo ka. Kasi may go bags kami or yung go bag na kumpleto na lang gamit, tapos go, di ba? Takbo ka na sa lugar nang walang problema. Dito, parang you have to get tested, get LGU clearance, papasukin ka ba sa ganitong bayan, pag tumawid ka sa isang bayan, kailangan mo ba mag-quarantine? There were so many other health protocols in place. Now, obviously, you have to follow because, syempre, you want to be safe. You want your crew to be safe. But more importantly, you don't want to be the Trojan horse that brings the virus to the people, and especially to areas na alam mong COVID, na zero COVID cases. It was a very difficult assignment logistically. Pero yun nga, you sort of have to really still push for it. You have to go to those places and cover. But I remember, aside from Bicol, I also covered in Tuguegarao and Cagayan province. And obviously, the typhoon was horrible and tragic. Mm. Pero in a way, it was also very may part na empowering for us because it really felt like we were still doing our jobs. And yung mga tao, when they talk about ABS-CBN in those places, parang you really felt that you were missed, which obviously is, you know, part of the tragedy na you could have given more information. Maybe you could have helped, maybe not. But, you know, at least there was that attempt. Pero dahil nga wala kaming platform to do that, it was a very difficult pill to swallow.
Yeah, during those moments, those typhoons, na social media was clamoring na sana may ABS kasi makakatulong talaga. But in the other side of that argument, there are people who are saying na there are still other networks who can give news and information. And, you know, some go to the extent of saying that ABS-CBN is not really needed. What are your thoughts on that argument as a journalist of ABS?
Ako, what happened with the shutdown is pinaliit yung democratic space. Pinaliit yung access to information. So yes, you can obviously get your news from the other organizations. Oh, you can absolutely do that. Pero may mga, sabi ko nga, may mga areas na una ang signal na natanggap lang talaga nila ay ABS-CBN or DZMM. Yun talaga yung source of information nila. So yun, nawala. Pangalawa, nabawasan yung choices mo of where to get information. And that's sort of frightening, di ba? And pangatlo, ang hindi na-realize din ng mga tao is with the shutdown, it's not just about what's being seen on the air or on social media, but who's covering on the ground. And with the shutdown, what followed was a retrenchment that meant that ABS-CBN had to close dozens of regional stations. Yung reach na yon, wala yung ibang news organizations. So when typhoons hit, for example, Bicol, Cagayan, wala kaming vast network of regional reporters to report on the communities there, to be there on the ground, to bear witness to what was happening at that very moment. Kasi lahat kami galing Maynila, susunod at ilang araw pa, di ba, bago kami makarating doon. Kaya yun din yung naging clamor for a lot of, if you remember that time, yung mga social media, para people were saying, nobody's reporting these things real time.
Yes.
Na merong mga local community journalists, pero yung reach eh, yun yung wala eh. Tsaka yung regional stations namin, na-hamper yung operations, walang tao doon. So wala kaming mahihinga ng update na journalist doon na from ABS-CBN. Wala eh. Nawalan kami ng first line of defense for coverage ng mga disasters. So it was, hindi na zero yung media, yung access mo sa media, pero nabawasan.
Alright, so dun naman, Sir Jeff, sa press freedom side, when ABS was shut down and then later on was denied a new franchise, Commission on Human Rights expressed concern over the shutdown, saying that this will have a chilling effect on media and press freedom in the country. In your personal view, have you observed instances of a supposed chilling effect on other journalists or news organizations or personally?
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for other journalists. Obviously, I can only speak for myself.
Yes.
You're going to have to ask them. Pero obviously, may direct effect. That when you see the biggest broadcasting network shut down, it's about to make people think na parang if they can do this to the big one, what more for the small ones? And it's not just ABS-CBN that's been sort of facing this problem. I mean, Inquirer and Rappler, parang yun yung biro namin, mga kaibigan namin na the unholy trinity. So parang, I mean, they really made an example of what they can do. At the same time, speaking from my experience, and siguro, if I can share a bit din about what my other colleagues did, is ang pinaka-fear dito is yung sort of self-censorship eh. Yung
walang mag-isip.
Walang magsasabi sa'yo na agency or na if the third party or ibang tao na itigil mo yan, huwag mong gawin yan. Pero nagki-creep sa utak mo yung parang, shucks, tama ba tong story ang gagawin ko? Parang what if it causes more harm to the company? What if it means na parang more people will be retrenched? So may ganong na ideally, in an ideal world, you shouldn't be thinking about those things. You should be thinking about the public, di ba? Yung journalism aspect of it, which is to do stories, to inform and to deliver. Yun lang naman yung dapat iniisip mo, pero may mga other factors at play. And yun yung laging trap na, I guess, parang laging fear namin na parang I have to sort of pause muna and think about, am I censoring myself from this from delivering this information dahil sa tao. So may mga ganun pang moments eh. So obviously parang part yun ng chilling effect that you were talking about, yung self-censorship. It's a very real problem for many journalists across all newsrooms.
Yeah, so you mentioned the public aspect of it. Over the past year, may strong clamor, you know, ibalik ang ABS-CBN. There's also the popular initiative, I'm sure you heard, the Pirma Ka Pamilya campaign, mm-hmm. where all around the Philippines, ordinary Filipinos have been signing the petition to get the network a new franchise. Where do you think this strong connection between ABS-CBN and the Filipino people comes from?
Well, obviously, longevity plays a very big part of that. I mean, a lot of Filipinos grew up with ABS-CBN. And I'd like to also think that yung connection is especially yung primetime news, because that's during dinner time eh. Yung television is a medium where you sort of allow strangers to be part of the family, to sort of sit down with you on the dinner table and tell you about the information you need today. Parang may aspect of them welcoming you into their homes every night. So, and it's a connection that's sort of difficult to break it. Pero syempre, obviously, yung pag-maintain mo ng tiwala na yun as a journalist is sure to have to keep, di ba? Para ma-invite ka parati, yes, gabi-gabi, yes, into their dinner tables, di ba? To tell them about what's happening. So, I guess yun yung clamor na yun is, and more than yung familiarity and more than yung dahil nakasanayan na nila, I think people are really also very aware of the importance then of media. Obviously, may problem tayo sa bansang to about news literacy, and we can still sort of spread more information and media education in this country. Pero I think at the end of the day, yung pinaka-gut ng maraming, gut feel naman ng maraming Pilipino is parang we need information. Kailangan namin ng balita para makapag-decide kami, makatulong sa araw-araw namin decision. And it's not even just about parang election season eh. It's more of bukas papasok yung anak ko, ano bang kailangan malaman? Uulan ba? Babagyo ba? Ligtas bang dumaan sa kalsadang to, sa gabing to? Or may nangyayari bang modus na kailangan kong malaman with police to? So, ang daming, I guess, factors in play. Pero ultimately nga, I think Filipinos really, really demand information and know the importance of the freedom of the press in this country.
Yeah, so in relation to that, I'm curious, do you have any parang personal stories, a story you're willing to share na napawaw ka doon sa connection ng ABS and people, na parang was there like a person who came up to you, said something, and you were taken back na, wow, grabe pala tong ABS and its connection to the people?
Actually, in general, 99% of the time, parang especially yung time na alam mong parang yung massive number of trolls are,
yeah,
sort of on social media. So you sort of kind of feel the vitriol on social media, and even though you know it's sort of manufactured in a way, but you sort of still feel it. And you also sort of parang ano eh, parang may nakaka-apekto siya talaga in a way yung nakikita mo sa social media. Pero yung super weird, and nakita ko to sa coverage ko even during sa kasagsagan ng shutdown. Ang daming tao on the street na parang like, we love ABS-CBN. Nami-miss namin kayo, sir. Sana makabalik kayo. Sir, hindi na kami nanonood ng TV. Pinatay na lang namin TV. Yung mga little stories like that. That's so weird. Bakit parang iba yung sa labas sa nakikita mo sa social media? So,
yeah.
I think it was also sort of, it gave me a lot of boost nung one of the bigger rallies during the shutdown na yung parang pinalibutan ng mga tao yung station. And it was during the pandemic, and I had, yes, a lot of friends, strangers, na, Jeff, parang ilang buwan kami nakakulong sa bahay, pero this time, lumabas kami kahit nasa loob ng kotse para umikot at pumusina para sa ABS sa nung time na yun. Yung mga bagay na yun, sobrang, sorry for the term, pero sobrang mindfuck sa akin. Kasi parang, ha, but hindi siya reflective of the hatred that a lot of journalists were receiving during that time on social media, but we sort of really needed those things at that time. We really, really appreciate the support that, that people really had during that time.
Yeah, so speaking of boost, boosting of your morale siguro at that point, on a personal note, ito pang end na natin. Given the limitations and the challenges that you've experienced of the network's reach, what motivates you to still continue to do your job, get up in the morning, and then still tell relevant stories as a journalist?
Yeah, so I always answer this question. Kasi lagi yung natatanong sa akin to, even before anything. Parang may mga times pa na gusto mo lang mag-resign, essentially, or tumigil, di ba? Yeah. Parang ganun yung tanong mo eh. At ang layo ko sagot, oo, daming beses. Hindi naman bibila ko ilang beses mo nang gustong tumigil o mag-resign. Pero meron akong weird metaphor parating sinasabi. Yung dedication mo, yung pagod mo, yung sakripisyo mo as a journalist, parang representative siguro siya ng isang coin. Tapos yung coin na yun, sabi mo gusto mo bumili ng pinakamasarap na cake na natikman mo. Kasasa vending machine siya. Ilagay mo yung puhunan mo, yung coin mo that represents all that pain and suffering and sacrifices and your dreams and hopes. Lahat yon nilagay mo sa vending machine. And then lumabas yung cake at yun yung pinakamasarap na cake na natikman mo sa buong buhay mo. That's your first story. Parang yun yung pakiramdam na makagawa ng isang storya na alam mong may natulungan. You don't necessarily have to change the world with that story or with that cake, but it's okay if you've already changed one person's world or worldview. That's more than enough. Kasabi mo, shucks, gusto ko pa ulit. So namuhunan ka ulit, naglagay ka ulit. Second time, cake. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth time, cake yung lumalabas. Pero by the 10th time, biglang tae yung lumabas. Sabi mo, bakit tae? Eh, gusto ko ng cake. So, 11th, 12th, 13th, tae. Pero by the time na lumabas yung 16th time, cake ulit eh. So, I think yung metaphor, weird metaphor ko dito, is the longer you sort of stay in this business, parang mas mahaba yung stretches na tae yung makukuha mo. Pero you're still sort of always looking forward to that taste of that cake. So you're willing to go through all that shit knowing up the idea that the story that can change people's lives will still be there. You still sort of push through at tuloy-tuloy pa rin yung pamumuhunan mo at pagtataya mo para makuha mo yung story ang yun, yung cake na yun. Did that make sense? Or was I just really weird in the last minute?
It's okay. It was actually good. It was a different way of looking at it. Pero I really get what you mean. All right. So before we end, ito final na talaga. 1 year, May 5, 2021, it will be a year. How would you describe in one word a year without ABS-CBN on the air?
One word? That's very... I have 1,000 words to
or a phrase or anything you want.
Sige, let's. And I know I'm gonna sound so corny and very whatever, but alam mo, it all still goes back to service. At the end of the day, kaming mga nasa field, ang laging nagpapatakbong, ang laging fuel naman namin is always in service. Really, it sounds so idealistic and it sounds so corny and cheesy. Pero yun talaga yung gusto mong gawin eh, magsilbi ka pa rin at the end of the day. Kahit na nilimitahan yung kapasidad mo to serve, you still serve. Kahit na mahirap at mukhang imposible, you still sort of have to try. Because if you stop trying, then sino pang gagawa kung wala, di ba? Sino pang pwedeng gumawa nun kung hindi ikaw mismo ang susubok at gagawa.
Right. That note, thank you very much, Sir Jeff, for sharing your time, your insights. And of course, we applaud you that even with ABS-CBN's limited reach, limited resources, you continue to tell stories that every Filipino needs to hear And I believe, and a lot of people believe, that that truly embodies what it means to be in the service of the Filipino.
That's all for this episode of On Point, the guidance podcast arm where we sit down and talk with the experts on issues in and beyond Loyola. Special thanks to our executive producers, Kathleen Yu Yap and Ria Tenido, as well as our producers, Daniel R. Garcia, Tatiana L. Maligro, Bryce Ruby, and Carmela B. Masiglat. This episode was edited by Hannah Mantos. Our cover art is by Denev Nung, and our theme music is brought to you by Vivid Productions. This has been Martin Ramos. Thank you for going on point with us. Thank you.